Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
So for this week's industry review, we're tuning into the business of wellness, speaking to three operators about building and running spas and wellbeing spaces, the pressures behind the scenes and how the sector is actually evolving in a competitively serviced market. Delighted to be joined in studio by three ladies. Adrienne Stewart is the founder of hotelandspasresorts.com. She's also director at Powerscourt Spring Health Farm and the owner at Rainforest Spa and the Summerhill House Hotel out there in Enniskerry, County Wicklow. You're very welcome, Adrienne. Also joining us is Tara De Courcy. She's the director of Spa and Wellness at the Cashel Palace Hotel down there in Tipperary. And Eileen Fleming is the co-owner of the Buff Day Spa, and she's also a consultant operating in the spa and wellness business. So you're all very welcome to the programme. We might start with you, Adrienne. You've three jobs there, as I outlined. Maybe tell us a little bit about each one of them and how your world works.
Yeah, sure. So recently founded hotelandsparesorts.com, which is gift vouchers for hotels and spas worldwide. So if you can buy a gift voucher on our website and you can redeem it at 10,000 hotels globally. And I'm a director of Powerscourt Springs Health Farm, which, as you say, is out in Enniskerry. We opened in 2020. So basically it's a wellness hotel. It's a little bit of a different concept to a spa being tagged onto a hotel. It's basically an adult-only, wellness-only focused destination.
So would that be also known as maybe a health farm?
Yeah, absolutely. It was Ireland's first health farm back in the 90s, actually. And it was one of the first spas that opened in Ireland before the tax breaks came in.
And typically your consumer would check in for a week or a few days. Or what is the pattern?
Yeah, well, we service people from, you know, a few hours. So we do day spa packages and then overnight stays. And then we also do longer retreats. So you can stay for 2, 3, 4 days as well on a kind of themed retreat. It could be around, you know, it can be anything, actually. It's quite interesting. You can apply wellness to anything. You could have a grief retreat. You could have, you know, a solo retreat where you want to meet new people as well. And then the other business I have is Rainforest Spa, which is a day spa only in Enniskerry, as you said, as well. So we kind of cater to a lot of different parts of the spa industry.
All right. Well, that's a good overview. And thank you for that. We'll be back to you in more detail in a second. Let's talk to Eileen Fleming of the Buff Day Spa. Eileen, you're very welcome to the programme. As I understand it, you set up in 2002, originally with two other partners who you've since bought out. And you run this business as well as operating a consultancy. I know you work for the local enterprise boards as well, providing advice and assistance. So tell us a little bit about your business, if you would.
So the Buff Day Spa, as you said, founded in 2002, we're nearly 23 years running, and we were one of the first day spas in Dublin city centre, and, you know, built it up over the years. Back in 2019, I just really started to systemize it and get it running without my day-to-day operational involvement. I live in Tullamore, whereas obviously the spa is right there beside the Gaiety Theatre, yeah, around the corner, Dublin City Centre. So I needed to get it working and running without me. That's when I started then working as a consultant and a mentor, helping other business owners to systemize their business, running without their day-to-day operational involvement as well.
All right. And finally, we turn to Tara De Courcy, who's the director of spa and wellness at the Cashel Palace, a former banker, no less. You're very welcome to the programme, Tara.
Thank you, Bobby. Thanks for having me. Good to be here today with the ladies and yourself.
Yeah, now, I've been down in the Cashel Palace. It's a wonderful addition to Cashel and a great hotel that looks like it was dropped out of the sky.
Absolutely.
Even though it was there years ago. But it's a 5-star hotel. And does that automatically dictate the product that you offer?
It's an expectation, I suppose, that comes from being a 5-star hotel in the middle of the country, which is great. We obviously have the Rock of Cashel in our background. So prestige is important for us. And it's been renovated to a very high standard. And it took a few years to get that done. So when we opened in March of 2022, we went with three brands who we thought were very strong in the marketplace and not really in Ireland yet, just to have something different. So we work with Bamford, which is an English brand from the Cotswolds, Lord and Lady Bamford, and we have Valmont then from the Swiss Alps. So it's very important that you pick the brands that you think people are going to like, something that people haven't had before and different experiences to bring to the property. So we think those work really well with us and we're very happy with them.
Okay.
And I suppose, yes, we do have a 5-star level. So everything is to be a very high standard and to keep to the standard. People are coming, they expect a service to that level. And I think that's really, really important to maintain that.
And would I be right in saying that you've, I suppose, two different customer types?
You do.
In that you've got residents who are staying in the hotel that want the facility, and then people who are coming not involved in the hotel.
Correct. We very much so have a split of residents versus non-residents, as we kind of generated in the business world. So we have our guests who are coming to stay, who will book in for a pampering session, a wellness session. You know, we do offer day retreats as well in the spa. We've got yoga classes, Pilates classes, wellness sound running throughout the week. We've put in last year a new recharge bar, so that has really, really helped with, you know, smoothies and healthy acai bowls. So it's creating a whole different aspect to the hotel as well for guests coming. And then you do have people who travel, let's say a friend from Cork and a friend from Galway. Where will we meet? We'll meet in the Cashel Palace, or we'll come from Dublin and we'll come from Limerick and we'll meet in the Cashel Palace. And they're looking for a day experience. So they might be looking for something, a lovely treatment time, some time in the pool area, and then maybe lunch or afternoon tea. So they're really getting to see the whole hotel, not just our aspect, okay, but enjoying the whole facilities around us, maybe taking a walk in the gardens and up to the rocks. So you do have two different prospective customers coming through.
Adrienne, can I ask you about the consumer and maybe how the consumer typically in the space has changed? Maybe since COVID, would that have changed things massively in the sector?
Yeah, I mean, it has. It's changed everybody's life, I think, you know, off the back of it. So, I mean, we opened, as I said, Paris Good Springs in 2020. And at the time, that whole concept of having a wellness hotel was a bit of an outlier. You know, it was a bit of a risk. But really, it tapped into the early part of a trend that's shifting right through the travel industry. And wellness travel in itself, it's no longer spa on its own as a nice add-on, you know, to a hotel stay. It's now an integral part of tourism. And I think we're kind of missing a little bit of a trick as well, because the demand is growing there. We're growing very fast at Paris Good Springs. And I think unless we play catch up in the Irish spa industry, we're going to miss that train.
I suppose for all sorts of reasons, it was a natural add-on to a hotel back in the day, let's call it.
Well, it was because of tax breaks. You know, you were getting leisure tax breaks for building a facility with a pool and saunas and steam rooms. And then, you know, they were often built in basements of hotels and kind of forgotten about by the hotel. You know, we have it, we've ticked the box, but now that's not good enough. You know,
And just like builders don't make the best hoteliers, maybe hoteliers aren't the best spa operators.
I totally agree with that. And while, you know, it's just, I suppose it's a lack of knowledge on it. You know, now I came into this industry a little bit like Tara, completely cold. I came from here actually in News Talk. And, you know, when people say, oh, you're going to work in the spa industry, it's kind of a little, you know, Asher, isn't that nice, you know? But it's a very fast moving industry and you really have to stay on top of it because the trends and consumer trends move so fast. That, you know, from a hotel's point of view, unless you're really tuned into that, you will get left behind. So what we're seeing, I suppose, is with my hat on for hotel and spa resorts, we're watching hotel trends as well. And you see a lot of international large chains like Accor, etc. You know, what they're trying to do is catch up and bring wellness into the room rather than just being down in the spa. Yeah. So you have the likes of the Shangri-La in Hong Kong, and it's building a whole wellness floor of hotel rooms that have, you know, guided meditations in the room. You know, you've got, you know, pillow menus, etc.
Tara, can I ask you then about some of the challenges? My bad.
Eileen, my bad.
Can I ask you about some of the challenges around HR, recruitment, attracting people to work in the business? Often it's a weekend led, it's maybe somewhat unsocial, maybe the pay rates are challenging. So how do you get or attract people, qualified people? Because I assume that people's knowledge and product knowledge and skill sets is essential to giving a good experience.
Absolutely.
So how do you get the right people into the right job?
It's quite challenging, and it has been over the last 10 years or so. Everywhere, every company out there is screaming for staff, looking for qualified staff. So it is an employees' market at the moment. Over COVID, when we were shut down, the industry lost a lot of people heading back home to the whatever country they came from. So we're still recovering from that, to be honest. One thing that's really good and really positive for the industry is that there is a new beauty therapist apprenticeship scheme.
Is that new?
Brand new for the beauty industry. Both Tara and myself have been involved in the launch of this. It's actually going to be launched, I think, September coming with the Clare and Limerick Educational Training Board as a pilot. So hopefully at that stage, once that's launched, it'll roll out to the rest of the country, offering candidates a chance to actually learn and earn at the same time.
So someone would come in typically 3 years, maybe?
Just over 2 years.
And then there's a progression. There's an accreditation at the end of it.
Absolutely. But they come in at the start, you know, they're going to be maybe doing 2 days a week in college and then working 3 days on site in the spa.
Great.
So at the very start, they're getting experience, which is absolutely crucial. Learning from the team, learning from the management, learning how actual operations work in the spa. So that's massive.
Okay. Now, I asked for texts earlier in the show. We're after getting a load of them in. So let's see if we'll field a couple of them live here. Go for a walk in the woods. That's the only spa you'll ever need, says Charlie. That's That's not a great start.
Well, grounding.
Actually, we actually offer forest bathing at Paris Court Springs, would you believe? And it is very therapeutic. So I totally agree.
There you go. There's one for you, Charlie. Can you ask your panel, what does wellness actually mean? This is a good question. I really don't understand the concept. That comes from Karen.
I think that's a really, really fair comment to make. So wellness is really just the state of feeling at ease in your own body, you know. So whether that's, you know, your mind or your body, so you're not feeling any active, you know, discomfort.
Emotions.
So it's quite hard to achieve what seems so simple. It can be quite expensive for people, you know, in terms of, you know, getting treatments, etc. So, you know, our philosophy is we use... You know, we try and encourage our clients and our customers to come into us as nearly like a gateway drug to at-home wellness, which sounds a bit insane, but like there's a lot of people that can come into us who may book a spa treatment, but have never done the likes of a yoga class or meditation. So like Tara, yourself, it's not just about treatments anymore. It's about...
The whole experience. As a neighbour said to me recently, I went away for a wellness weekend, and the first thing I was told to do was relax. And she goes, I couldn't relax. I was thinking about how I got here and did I leave everything for the kids? But it doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over time.
Yeah.
And it is a mind frame that you want to actually leave your worries behind you, leave your woes behind you. And as you say, find that balance within your body. And it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. I walked in today and I sat down on the couch and I went...
Well, it's actually quite funny. Tara came to a radio station to relax from a spa.
Well, here's another one for you, Tara. Can I suggest all your guests bar phones from spas? Had a recent visit ruined by people on phones loudly checking Instagram.
Yeah.
Surely that's a no-no.
Yeah. Now, it is a challenge. It really
is.
We have phone lockers as well. And like, you know, we have considered doing digital detox weekends as well so that people are guaranteed to not have other customers on phones. Like the problem is that obviously our society has moved towards the, you know, the photo recording every single step that we make. And I'm slightly guilty of that myself as well.
We do have a no phones policy in the Cache Palace Hotel, just because we've got a lot of mix of different people in there. It's the pool hotel for the hotel. It's the spa hotel for the spa. And people are looking for different things. And, you know, for GDPR, kids can be in the pool area. People are in the changing rooms. It's all, you have to be aware of those things.
This next one might be a little unfair. Hotel spas that operate as day spas, the experience of the guests that paid for hotel accommodation and breakfast and dinner is diminished.
Mm.
The day trippers parachute in, making the spa crowded. Often the customer that paid for the whole spa experience misses out.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that...
I think that's a fair point as well.
It's all about how you manage it, really, like, and how many treatments you have. Or like, we're a 4-treatment room spa, so capacity wise you're never over limited, and you should know your availability throughout the day. you know, your residents will come in, they can use the facilities anytime throughout the day.
That's not the case though in all hotels.
No, it's not.
A lot of
hotels
are changing their policies whereby you're buying a bed and breakfast rate in some hotels. And I overheard somebody recently who stayed at a hotel who would have expected use of their facilities as part of their experience. And when they got there, they realised they had to pay extra for that because they need to maximise the space in the spa for paid day spa guests, which I think is a little bit unfair.
I suppose the reality of having the spa adjacent or part of the hotel makes that slightly challenging in that there's an expectation.
It's going to vary from hotel to hotel because our hotel offers complimentary use of the facilities for 12 hours a day. So you can come whenever you want throughout the day. But I don't speak for every hotel here, but most hotels should be offering that. Now, I do know other five stars who charge to go and use the facilities. So it does vary.
Eileen, can I ask you about where beauty and wellness meet? Because there seems to be a slightly... You know, when you look at the industry, you're looking at wellness, you're looking at spas, but beauty features as well in some operations.
Absolutely.
So there's nails, there's facials. Talk to me a little bit about that.
And, you know, the expectations of clients have really changed. So when we started off, we would have been a lot of beauty and a bit of massage and a bit of skincare and everything like that. But over the years, we have really evolved more so into like skincare and massage treatments, real holistic treatments. We still have a small part of the beauty, but it's not as predominant as it would have been years ago. Like, you know, so you can definitely see the change in the consumer mindset, what they're actually looking for. But now, even with that, we're evolving again. We're bringing in the likes of coaching. So we've got a coaching room now at the Buff Day Spa. So you don't only just come in for a treatment, be it a massage or a facial. It's also paired with a coaching session.
Does that create some communications challenges within the industry? If there's all this stuff going on, does the consumer sometimes need a little bit of clarity?
Well, I think you have to be very clear on, I suppose, what your offering is. And, you know, I suppose you don't want to stay stagnant. You always want to give something new to the consumer as well, you know, and provide a new experience and evolve. And especially when you see sometimes, like when a client is in a room, my therapists can be actually therapists. They're listening to all of the problems and that's not their remit as such, you know. But it's important that, you know, I think the spas evolve with their offerings but make it very clear what's happening.
Yeah. Tara, you talk about hands-on body treatments. I suppose, is that self-explanatory? In that one human is interacting with another human.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we do talk about evolving and everyone is looking to see, I suppose, what the new and latest trends are and what's being done here and what's being done there. But tried and tested, like one-on-one, the most things people will ask for in any spa I've been in, and the girls are nodding their heads in agreement here, is that physical touch, like that hands-on-hand physical touch of massage energy through one hand to the other. And you can put in tools. I mean, we obviously come from a remit. Yes, we have a business to provide, but we also have to mind our teams that we work with and staff retention and taking care of our therapists because their hands are their tools. Like that's their livelihood. So you have to be careful and aware of that as well. And I suppose you're always looking at how can you change things, but like you can do bamboo, you can do machines, you can do rollers, but people inevitably, hot stones, come back to, I want that physical, full body, hands on touch. Yeah. You know, and it's I suppose it's maybe energy transferring from one to another. It's the human thing. If someone is in a difficult time, what do? You give them a hug, or if someone falls down, you rub their arm. Like it's that physical sensation that changes in the chemical process
and
within
that,
the body.
That too has a staffing implication, does it not? If it's a one on one, there's only so many hours in the day, and so much a therapist can provide.
For sure. And I mean, you have to be aware of that. Like we were talking outside before we came in here about staff retention and the challenges of that. And I think it's really changed in the industry. Like 10 years ago, when I first came into this industry, people could be doing 8 to 10 massages in a day, you know, and they'd be physically what we would call a burnout. I was picking enough to say a burnout, you know, they're failing away from the system. But most spas have moved forward and put in a limitation on how many massages a therapist are doing in a day.
Even if they're just massage therapists.
Even if they're just massage therapists. Because, you know, you get a massage at 10 o'clock in the morning, Bobby, and Eileen gets a massage at 5 o'clock in the evening, and she expects it to be the same standard, especially in a five-star hotel. We're held to a higher standard, I suppose everybody is, but you want to be the same, but you want your therapist to be able to do that and not be exhausted and not be not showing up the next day because they were had seven massages the previous day and they're exhausted themselves and the body needs to replenish. And we have to be aware of that as one, an owner or a runner of a business, and two, as the consumer, when someone says we're full for massage.
I'm smiling here as I read this next text because I'm in total agreement with it. I think, it's this one here. The only thing I don't like about spas and hotels is guests coming down to breakfast in robes. I'm absolutely with that.
We encourage our guests to roam in their robes.
I won't mention the establishment, but I was in a place and a fella rocked up to me in a robe and ordered a pint of Guinness beside me and I said, this is a no-no, a complete no-no.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
That's each to their own. Yeah.
I think none of you ladies agree with me, but that's okay.
No, I think
I'm with Darren, the texter.
It depends where you are and
it
what.
Does
like,
depend
so
where you are.
Different hotels have different regimes on that. Like, it wouldn't really happen in our hotel and it never happened in the previous hotels I worked in. But obviously there is hotels in the country that are spa-led hotels who encourage the monarch of Europe. They have the facilities for those and they have the dining in your spa robe to go to the spa dining areas. So it is around.
All right, enough said about that. Finally, maybe to have a look at the future of the business, the future of the sector. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening over the next couple of years?
I think there's an opportunity that we'll lose if we don't act now. So what I think is that if we don't act, we're going to get left behind. And what I mean by that is, policymakers in this country have a real opportunity here in terms of spa and leisure wellness tourism, because that is the fastest growing sector of the travel market. We have a country that's a beautiful country with a temperate climate. I know a lot of rain in the last 2 weeks, but we have a huge opportunity to sell spa as a tourism destination, you know, and we're not acting on that. Like, not that I'm here to beat the VAT drum, but like, you know, we increased the VAT rates back up from hairdressers are getting them for VAT rate at 9% shortly again. And while I think that's fantastic for the hair industry, people are not going to travel to Ireland to get a haircut, but people will travel. If you support the industry now, perhaps just for a very limited amount of time, give people enough and allow it to be tied to perhaps reinvestment into their facilities to promote destination spas, destination wellness resorts, destination hotels that are featuring wellness as part of their overall offering. Because at the moment, we're not doing that in a coherent way. And I think there should be a strategic move towards that.
Okay. Thank you all, one and all, ladies. Thanks for coming in to tell us about your wonderful sector. Really enjoyed that.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.